Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.Buddhang Dhammang Sanghang Namassami. As we begin to settle into the retreat, encourage us all to bring attention back into the body. The meditation is sometimes a very cerebral thing, and I think that will oftentimes miss the point. So to bring attention back into the body, ground awareness in the bodily experience. The meditation that the Buddha most often instructed his students in was the mindfulness of breathing. As one reads the suttas, the scriptures, that's the meditation instruction that is the most common. Of course, he gave many different tools and many different methods, but mindfulness of breathing seems to be his go-to object. And actually, even himself, there's a sutta where the Buddha is relating the occasion when the Buddha has stepped aside from his duties and is in solitary retreat for 3 months, and just his attendant Ananda bringing him food each day, and Ananda asking the Buddha, "Seems you've been in retreat now for some time. Sometimes people ask me, what is the Buddha doing while he's in retreat? And what do I tell them?" And the Buddha says, "You can tell them that the Buddha is attending to mindfulness of breathing." So that this seemingly simple technique and effort of attending to the in-breath and the out-breath, something that we do as beginners, or something reminds me of something of the it's like when we do the morning chanting, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, and beautiful in the end. And that's the nature of the Dhamma practice, but it's also definitely the nature of mindfulness of breathing. When we begin mindfulness of breathing practice, and it's very settling, soothing, and as we continue to cultivate it, refine it, understand it, have a deepened sense of the implications and applications, then it becomes increasingly beautiful to work with. When the Buddha gave instruction on mindfulness of breathing, I mean, there's the primary text is a discourse on mindfulness of breathing, and the Buddha emphasizes that, say, by developing mindfulness of breathing, then one brings to fruition the four foundations of mindfulness. When one brings the four foundations of mindfulness to fruition, then it brings the seven factors of awakening to fruition. When one brings the seven factors of awakening to fruition, then it brings to fruition knowledge and release. So it's one starts with paying attention to an in-breath and an out-breath, but it unfolds in how one is able to apply it and direct one's attention. But I think, most importantly, the establishing awareness, attention, mindfulness, grounded in the body, it's so helpful to have an object of attention that is, there's a stability there. The body, despite all of its weirdnesses, and it might be ill, it might be tired, it might be any number of things, but it's way more solid or tangible, than our emotions. And then, in comparison to thoughts, even emotions are more solid and stable. So it is having something to come back to and ground one, anchor one. So mindfulness of the body is our grounding awareness in the body is important. And then the connection to the breath, being attentive to that sensation of the breath coming in, the breath going out, having a tuning attention and awareness to that rhythm and sensation of the breath experienced within the context of the body. Sometimes there's an attempt to try to isolate the breath somehow so that it's a pure sensation or a pure experience, just the experience of the breath. But I think that's kind of like a fruitless endeavor, because there is no such thing as, pure experience, in the sense that there's a sensation of the breath, there's a perception of the sensation of the breath, there's the feeling associated with the perception of the breath, there's the associations associated with this. That's just the way it is. That's our experience. But having a primary, focus of attention is important, in the sense, we just take that simple rhythm of the breath and lift that up into awareness and attention, and direct our effort and awareness to that. At first, keeping it quite simple, in the sense that breathing in long, one knows one's breathing in long, breathing out long, one knows one's breathing out long. Breathing in short, one knows one's breathing in short. Breathing out short, one knows one's breathing out short. Just that level of attention to recognizing, there's a long breath coming in, long breath going out, or it's short. But then it's also within that you start to notice, in the sense that, because sometimes a long breath can be really satisfying, or one's breathing in long, it's sort of like it's just really filling everything. There's an ease, the breath is coming in on its own, and it's breathing out and it's long, and then there's a real ease there. But sometimes we start trying to control. I need to breathe in long, and we start adding layers of controlling or measuring. How long was it last time? sort of measure it in milliseconds and getting incredibly obsessive. It gets so that there's different qualities of a long breath. And breathing in short, one knows when breathes in short. And sometimes that can be, one is just feeling a bit constricted, and so it just is only just having this sense of a short breath coming in, short breath going out. But then sometimes you're sitting so peaceful and still, just physically, mentally, everything is just incredibly still. And then the breath is just a little wisp coming in, and then after some time a little wisp going out. It's a short breath. So that there's different qualities to the long breath, to the short breath, and to recognize that. And it isn't that one has to again be comparing or striving to get the breath one particular way. It's just recognizing this is what's happening right now. How does it feel? What can I do to experience that more clearly, to know it more clearly? In this instruction that the Buddha gives, the verb that the Buddha uses is pajhanati, which is, say, understand, know clearly. It's the verb that, say, to discern. It's the verb that is then turned into a gerund and is called panya, and sort of wisdom, knowledge. So it's not just sort of some kind of superficial knowing, some scattered knowing. There's a real clear knowing. Knowing clearly, discerning clearly, this is a long breath coming in, this is a long breath going out, this is a short breath coming in, this is a short breath going out. This one is discerning, knowing clearly, this is the experience right now. And they just knowing that much. In the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha gives an image of a turner or a turner's apprentice, or somebody who's carving wood on a lathe, and so that there's a and before any kind of mechanized lathes, it would be either the person themselves turning it, or you had an apprentice who would turn it. And one of the things that we say, monks in Thailand, we make a lot of our own requisites, and one of the requisites that we would make would be the large umbrellas that we use for going on tudong. We have these large umbrellas for going wandering, and you hang a mosquito net from that. But part of the making of that umbrella is the working bits of the umbrella you carve from wood, and we had a lathe, and there's two different ways of doing it. One was where you actually you're doing it yourself. You have a long stick of bamboo with a rope tied on it. The rope goes around the wood, and then you push it down, let it go up, push it down, let it go up. And then it would turn it. And it's not turning like this, it's turning like this, and it's coming back. Turning like this, coming back. So it's just this, it's just like the breath. It's going up, coming back, going out, coming back. Or the other way, again, sometimes when you're, I remember working with one monk who was teaching me how to do some of these requisites and different things that we use. And he would be carving, and then, say, in this case, myself or any other young monk who was wanted to learn from him, and it was, you had a rope, and you pull one, pull back, and back, and then it keeps it turning back and forth like that. So it's similar. It's like you know when it's long, you know when it's short. So that it's very physical. It's very engaged. And I think that image that the Buddha gives, and I don't know what they did in the Buddha's time, but these are sort of skills that are probably pretty common in the countryside and in agrarian cultures. So it's probably something similar. And I think the image is really apt because also the kind of engagement in the process. So that with mindfulness of breathing, it's not just that you're a passive observer and it's somehow happening to you. But there's an engaging with the process of the breath. And of course, just by being attentive or establishing mindfulness on the breath, we start to affect the breath. So that, in a sense, we can attend to the breath in a way of, okay, I'm going to breathe in and breathe out, and boy, am I going to get it right this time. I got it wrong last time, but this time I'm really going to get it right. You can imagine what that result is. But in that sense of engaging with it, say, taking an interest and being alert, being present, and then the breath starts to change. It becomes long, it becomes short in different ways. So just being attentive to that and recognizing that how we pay attention is going to affect the breath. Also recognizing that we've got a real range of say how we attend to the breath. I mean, sometimes there are meditation instructions that can get really dogmatic. So no, you've got to be at the tip of your nose, or you're not meditating correctly. I was like, remember, when I was a young monk, I was in Mahasi Sayadaw technique was just going to Sri Lanka. And there was just kind of widely derided as this sort of kind of aberrant sect of belly watchers. And it was this fixation on technique. But and the Buddha's instruction is not at all kind of rigid or even that specific. It's just it was knowing the long breath, knowing the short breath, and then he said, experiencing the whole body, I breathe in. Experiencing the whole body, I breathe out. And in the Pali, it's sambhagaya patisangveti, and maybe it's better expressed as experiencing fully, because in the Pali they are feeling fully, because the verb is or the patisangveti, veti is the same root as vedana, feeling. I feel it. I'm sensitive to the breath, and then. Both pati and sang are amplifiers, so that they're sort of feeling fully the whole sambhagaya, the whole body. So that gives a huge range, and so you can, you're not limited. It doesn't mean you have to be going, as I breathe in, I've got to run around and experience every little bit of my body. That makes it really frantic, which isn't the point. But it's sort of like, okay, you've got the whole body. You know, we do inhabit our bodies. It isn't just this little bit above our necks, which sometimes that our world tends to kind of drift into that level and sort of, no, there's a whole lot happening down below my neck, and how can I feel that? How can I experience that? How can I be sensitive to that? So that breathing in, the breath is like the doorway into the body. So then breathing in and breathing out. And then recognizing as we do breathe in, you know, what is the where do we predominantly feel a sensation? And it doesn't have to be one way or the other. It's just sort of being willing to take an interest and find out how does this breathing process, what is my experience of this breathing process? And to breathing in, breathing out, because that normally we're saying, okay, breathing in, we're to be attentive to the breath as it touches the tip of the nose, that comes into the body, as it goes out, the rhythm of the breath. But then, you know, just starting to explore the feeling within the body. How does it feel? What's it feel like as I breathe in? What's it feel like at the top of my head? What's it feel like around my jaw? What's it feel like around my eyes? Being sensitive to the whole body. What's it feel like in the shoulders? What's my posture like as I'm breathing? How does that affect my breathing? Because sometimes our posture is it's really important to having a posture that is helping to not make oneself tired. Like sometimes we can be holding the posture too tightly, too much effort at trying to hold, make it really tight and upright. It's not really relaxed. Or it can be just a bit too relaxed. It's slumping a bit. And then the breath is constricted, and it doesn't energize one. It doesn't feel as comfortable. So then it has an effect. So then, sensitive to the whole body, breathe in. Sensitive to the whole body, I breathe out. You're getting a feel for inhabiting the body and having the body as a foundation for one's experience. Also, the verb in those first two, breathing in, breathing short, were the short breath, the long breath, were to know or to understand or discern clearly. All the rest of the Anapanasati Sutta, the verb in the rest of the steps of Anapanasati is the verb sikkhati, which means to train. To training thus, say, experiencing the whole body, I breathe in, experiencing the whole body, I breathe out. Sort of training thus, so that one is training. Because like with the breathing in, breathing out, that's kind of happening, and one knows it. But one has to train oneself to direct attention in certain ways. So directing attention to the experience of the whole body. One has to train oneself to okay, well, where do I draw the line when we say the whole body? There's a process of experimenting and learning, which is another aspect of this verb psikkhiti, is it's learning, training, because in the Buddha's time, to learn something wasn't reading it in a book, it's doing it. And so that we training with it, learning, educating oneself, and breathing in, sensitive to the whole body, breathing out, being sensitive, experiencing fully the whole body. And just to, you know, taking the time as we breathe in, and a lot of it is just being able to relax into the exploration of a meditation object. I mean, the mindfulness of breathing is what I predominantly teach. It's what I've used. It's what I'm most familiar with. There's many different techniques, methods of meditation. And if mindfulness of breathing isn't something that you're either comfortable with or familiar with, then the principles behind that are applicable to any method. So that takes it. Experiencing fully, grounding the experience in the body, you know, not kind of disappearing off into a cloud of concepts and ideas, but bringing it back into the grounded experience. We were talking last night at tea time, or amongst us, and there was a question from the novice. It was, you know, there's a reference to the body witness in the scriptures. And what does body witness mean? And I had to admit, I don't know, really. But it's always in a list of attainments. So, like, there's the attainment of stream entry, once return or non-return or arahant. That's one list of attainments. There's another list of attainments that are the liberation through faith, liberation through wisdom, and one is called the body witness. So that is sort of like it's a liberating, inside liberating attainment or way of describing attainment. So the Buddha refers to it and doesn't explain it somehow. But anyway, it is interesting that this whole aspect of the body has many implications, and the experience of it is not just something you try to get out of. All my body is prey to all aging sickness. I'm just going to disappear, and I'm not going to deal with that. The body is a tangible basis for attending to experience, and particularly attending to the breath. And it's also, I mean, it has the great benefit of the body's always in the present moment, so that it doesn't really matter. You know, your mind starts to wander, you start to hash over things from the past, you start thinking about the future, and how do you get back to, okay, present moment awareness, come back to the body. Body's always in the present. So it's a great anchor, a great foundation for stabilizing one's practice. The next step, when the Buddha lays out the instructions on mindfulness of breathing, he uses the structure of the four foundations of mindfulness, so that there are four sets of four, So body, feeling, mind, dhammas, phenomena. So that the first four are exclusively about the body. So experiencing fully the whole body, and then goes on to calming the bodily formations. And it's a different word in the scriptural language, like experiencing fully the entire body, the whole body. It's sabba kaya. So sabba is all, kaya is body. And then calming the bodily formations. Bodily formations are kaya sankara, so that the formations, the construction, of the pertaining to the body, and that can be, say, the breath itself, can be certainly the consciously calming the body is a part of that, so that, say, as we're calming the bodily formations I breathe in, calming the bodily formations I breathe out, or say more correctly, sir, I will train thus. Breathing in, I'll calm the bodily formations. I'll train thus. Breathing out, calming the bodily formations. So we're training, working with the breath, and then calming the whole process of the body, so that we can, by calming, we can start to pay attention to where do I feel the breath, where do I experience it, where do I feel not calm, where do I feel kind of tense, tight, constricted, uncomfortable. So then we can start to pay attention with just breathing into those places where one feels uncomfortable or feels constricted. Breathing out is releasing around that, so that there's an ease that is cultivated. One is training, developing the capacity to experience a sense of ease and comfort. Say pasambayang pasambayang, it's making it peaceful, or that so that making the body process peaceful, and so that bringing tranquility into the bodily experience. And that's there's attending to what our experience is. Am I, as I'm sitting here, what am I feeling? How am I? Where am I experiencing ease and comfort? Where am I experiencing a sense of dis-ease, discomfort? And how can I bring tranquility into that? How can I settle that? How can I make that peaceful? So that using the breath, breathing as one breathes in, as one breathes out, breathing into that, and so that one gets to become very familiar, knowing the body clearly, and then using it as a vehicle for settling and creating this base of well-being. As that's, say, as we direct attention to that peacefulness, relaxing the bodily formations I breathe in, relaxing the bodily formations I breathe out, and there's a sense of ease starts to permeate the whole body. And it is important to recognize that you can do that. And sometimes it's sort of like almost like You know, am I allowed to feel good when I'm meditating? isn't the more, you know, the more dukkha I feel, then the more I'm learning. No, not necessarily. No pain, no gain ideal is really not a good model for meditation and Buddhist practice. And learning how to bring some ease into the system, because we're really skilled at creating suffering already. It's getting some skill in bringing ease into the system, and then tranquilizing the bodily formations. I breathe in, tranquilizing the bodily formations. I breathe out, or settling, soothing. It's important perspective, because we tend to work from a perspective of, or an assumption that once I get my meditation together, then, you know, I'll feel good or I'll be happy. But then it's always something off in the future. You know, like when I get my act together, then my life is all going to be fine. You know, when I grow up, past retirement age, you know, when I grow up. So it goes on forever. So that learning how to bring in that sense of ease and well-being into the experience of the breath. And then one's engaged in the meditation. This is one of the really important aspects of, say, Buddhist practice, is that you're learning how to engage, actually learning how to learn from experience. And that's what they say, that the verb that the Buddha, sikkhiti, training thus, learning from this, I'll breathe in. Learning from this, I'll breathe out. That's a key point of the. I remember Ajahn Jayasaro coming. Last time he was at Abhaya Gira, a few years ago now. He was saying that, you know, is this the way he framed it? It's sort of like, you know, really, the Buddha's teachings are sort of an education project. It's just giving us a sort of tools of learning how to educate ourselves. And so it's like, yeah, we're having to relearn and to educate ourselves in how to be peaceful, balanced, skillful human beings. So that mindfulness and breathing forms a core to that, in the sense that both the structure and the practices, so that using the mindfulness of breathing, and of course here, we're in a meditation retreat, so we've got the opportunity to explore that mindfulness of breathing. What can we learn from it? How can we learn from it? Of course, we'll also, it's not just, sitting in meditation, but walking meditation, using those same principles in walking meditation, the breath coming in, the breath going out. It's also just the lifting and moving and setting down of the left foot, lifting, moving, setting down of the right foot. It's just so ordinary, but learning how to watch that process. It's the same. This is the grounding awareness in the body, grounding awareness in our somewhat mundane experience of having a body and a mind, but taking the opportunity to learn from that. I'll offer that for reflection.